For just a moment, I want to thank Mark and Jim for laying it out. This is who we are as a church. And this week, I hope, no matter what side of the political aisle you are, I hope that you celebrated all things are possible. All things are possible. And we saw history in our nation this week, and I hope you're praying that we're going to come together and we're going to work together. We're hearing the rhetoric. I hope we see the results. But you know what, church? Here's what I want you to know. The church is not about politics. I want you to write that down. But the church needs to be an influence. It needs to be an influence on the way people live and the way people see life. And so at this moment of time, like no other moment of time, I got to ask you to do something that we should have been doing all along. It's time to stand up, walk out what we believe, and be a great witness that the things that Jesus has said are true. How many of y'all believe that? And I want to give you some things we got to be committed to. Terrible times have been here before. How many of y'all have ever been through a terrible time? If you've been born, you are in the location of to endure some terrible times. Now, I want to help you with this. Our job in the church is not to be fearful. And a lot of people are fearful. What was God always telling us? Fear what? For I am here. How many of y'all got that kind of faith? But our job is to be faithful. And I want to call us to be faithful. And what are we called to be? We're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, all your sins have been forgiven. And that's a message for all living, breathing human beings. You all caught fire on this on Hillview. I'm not telling you anything you don't believe. But I am encouraging you this. Keep believing it. Amen. Keep believing it. And you're going to have to anchor down in what you decide is truth. You see, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He's the only way to heaven. Now hold on. That puts me opposed to what's being taught in the world today. Now, don't be obnoxious, be faithful. And I want to teach you all to do something. If you know it's true, you don't have to get mad. If you know it's true, you don't have to get mad. I have people all the time, they say, well, I don't like you, Pastor, because you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. What about everybody else? I said, I believe in everybody else. Jesus wants everybody to be connected to Him. Jesus' desire, we got to get into the desire of Jesus, is to see human beings remade into what they can be. Is that why you attend Hillview? I hope you attend Hillview because you believe all possibilities are in any human being who meets Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we're going to be a preaching station of the great hope. And I want you all to quit listening to all this fear-mongering rhetoric. Somebody asked me this week, they said, well, are you concerned about the fairness doctrine? Which means this, that'll affect the church. I want to tell you, you can't shut God's faithful up. They're not going, hey, there may be five of us here, but I want to tell you, I want to show you something. I want you to begin to get this. Five faithful people will whip the crowd. You know how I know? Because Mr. Martins, when I was a little boy with a bucket head haircut, and I was about 5 years old, there were some older people who were faithful at the First Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And back then, they were raising $258,000. Back in the early 70s, that was a chunk of change. To build some Sunday school rooms so little bucket-headed kids like me could hear this story. There was a big enemy in the world named Goliath. And there was one little old faithful boy who happened to be a shepherd's boy, and all he had was a slingshot and five rocks. But if you got a slingshot and five rocks and faith, you can whip the giants in life. And we haven't had a church like that in a while. We haven't had a church that has anchored itself really into the Word of God. Now, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to Here's one of the decisions I want to encourage you today. Is this true or is it not? It is. I'm going to tell you where your pastor stands. It's not up for discussion. Now, you can come over to me and you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I believe. Listen, I have listened for all of my life. I went to the finest dialogue and seminaries that were in existence. I have heard some of the most sophisticated intellectual pastors and intellectual prophets and intellectual teachers try to explain some things away in this Word. And I'm going to tell you the conclusion I came to. It says what it means, and it is what it is, and what it says is going to happen, will happen. You say, well, that doesn't sound intellectual to me. Let me tell you the problem with intellectual people. They die.
Amen.
And they're never risen again. So somewhere in our faith walk, it gets past what I think and what I feel and what I want to do to what God says. Amen. We're at 2 Timothy 3. Y'all are shocked. Now, in 1 Timothy 3:16 last week, we sung the hymn of the foundation. He appeared in the body. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by the angels. He was taken up to where? Glory. He is God. He is Jesus. He is Lord. He is the focal point. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy in the second letter, and Paul is giving his memoir. Paul has run the race. He's battled the faith. He's been in debate. He's been in dialogue. He's been beaten. He's been bruised. He has stayed with Jesus. And he's telling Timothy there will be some difficult days. See if these things sound familiar in the first part of chapter 3. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive. Children, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy. Without love, unforgiving, slanderous. I'm glad we don't hear any of that in our culture, aren't you? Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Do any of those things sound familiar? Now, I bet if I was in Rome 2,000 years ago, and I was reading this, some of these things would sound familiar. What do you think? We're not the first group of people to encounter these kind of behaviors. What it says, though, there will be a time where these behaviors become more prominent than good behaviors. We'll get out of balance. So here's what I wanted you to know. What's the job of the church in the world? To keep the balance. To keep the balance. And I want to propose something to you. The faith is not about being liberal or conservative. I believe that those are old, out-of-date terms in the 21st century. I believe those are 20th century, modern-era terms that have really gone, they have no description in this moment of time. I want to encourage you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, are we going to be faithful to Christ? Or are we going to be unfaithful? Those are really the two terms of determination. Not am I holding to what I believe or I think. Am I being faithful to what God has said? Now, to do that, there's three things that I think are very important. First of all, you got to repent of your sins and know Jesus. Now, see, here's the problem. Sue, you can have a form of godliness and no power. You can come to church and never be changed. Jim, these are people that you were talking about. They sit, they come to church, they hear the good news, they give a couple of bucks, they come every 3 months, every 6 months, when it's convenient for their life, and they claim to have faith. I want you to hear the truth from your pastor. Those are unfaithful people. I used to hear this rhetoric in the late 70s. People would say, well, I'm an uncommitted Christian. Guess what an uncommitted Christian is? Lost as hell. You see, to get into the real deal, you have to make a commitment. You have to make a commitment to be saved. Because when God makes a commitment to you, guess what? You become committed. And we use all these loosey-goosey terms to explain something, Pastor Shane, that's real clear. I'm unfaithful. And go check the text. Anytime God's people become unfaithful, the world finds itself in a tough situation. You really want to hear the facts? Jim read that passage of Scripture out of Malachi. Do you know the percentage of the tithe in the United States of America, the richest, wealthiest nation in the world? Do you know the tithe of the people that say, one nation under God? Quote, quote. You know it, Tyler? 2%. Nora, 2%. A Christian nation, baloney. A nation that's a lover of itself, absolutely. A nation that loves prayer. What do y'all think? You think the Titans, you think one Titans game makes more money than our whole church selling beer in four quarters? I would trade the Titans their beer sales for our offering. What do you think, Jim? Some of y'all going, well, I alone would contribute to that. I mean, really think about it. Now, hold on. You've been hearing all this political rhetoric all year long. Really, for 24 months, we've been hearing. You know why I was glad the election was over? I was tired of hearing from both of them. I'm glad no football can come on without interruption now. Now, look at here. 80% of God's resources in this nation are in our pockets. I just wonder how many poor folks that would lift up, since that's the commission of the church. I wonder how many people who thought they had no possibility would find possibility if the church would become faithful. In the same statistics here at Hillview. Now, let me tell you what we're trying to do. Here's what I believe. If you don't know where to go, you'll never get there. How many of y'all found that to be true? If you don't know where to go, you'll never get there. Now, I want to know, how are you going to know what Jesus said if you never know what He said? Can somebody help me with this incongruent moment? And I know a lot of you say this, well, Pastor Steve, I don't go to Bible study and I really don't learn the Word of God because I listen to you preach. I'm only giving you 40 minutes at the most. I'm not giving you the rest of the movie. I'm giving you a clippet, a moment. There's a moment of instruction there. You need to get the rest of the details. I want you to dream with me. What would it be like if we became faithful? That's the question today. Here's what we're after here today. Three things. First of all, we want to be committed to telling people Jesus is for real. Why? 2 Timothy 3:16. Here's what Paul told him. Make sure you understand this, Timothy. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now check this out. Here's what it's saying about the Word of God. We didn't write it. God presented it. Now, I could be in an argument with you for eons over, is this text authentic? Who's the author of this? I've been through all of that. What sources created this Bible? Let me tell you something, how you know the Bible's true. Live it and see if it works. Every year I grow older. How many of y'all are having the same thing happen in your lives? Every year I grow older, I find what the Bible says is true. Now, I'm going to be very transparent here. When I was 19, 20, 21, 22, Alan, I questioned everything in the Bible. I was one of the most liberal scholars you've ever seen. Because guess what I was trying to do, Jack? I was trying to make the Word of God work according to my vision. And I said, well, Lord, you didn't really need to say that right there because that hurt people's feelings. And Lord, you didn't need to say that because that makes this group of people mad. And Lord, you didn't need to say that because that really doesn't fit in good right now. Guess what I begin to realize, Freddie? All Scripture, not some of it, all of it is God-breathed, God-inspired, and God-directed. And it applies to everybody, whether you believe it or not. See, some of y'all don't believe people are going to hell. Some of y'all don't believe it. You don't even more believe in the man of the moon. If you really believed it, you'd have to tell somebody about Jesus, or you're just a cold-hearted human being. See, I believe people are going to hell. And I believe Jesus is the answer. What do you guys believe? But that makes me go, hey, have you thought about Jesus? Have you considered Jesus? Would you let the Spirit change you? Second thing is this. All Scripture, look at it, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Now listen, we're a teaching church. Our reputation in the community, this is the reputation we have among the churched. They say, well, that Hillview Heights, they just have all that high-powered, juiced-up worship over there. Everybody gets cranked up. They come to the altar. They get baptized. But they never get discipled. I say, really? Then I don't know what in the world those 2,500 people are doing here on Wednesday night in Bible study. And I don't know how in the world people change their lives here in this congregation like they do just by listening to guitars. Because it's much deeper than that. Listen, we're making a $10 million commitment. And if you don't believe in this, you're cruel. I want our children to know what the Word of God says. Now, Sherry, are all of them going to follow it? No. You were a school teacher. Did every student you have listen to you? No. I didn't listen to have my school teachers. And then what did I find out? Should have. You know what? My first semester in college, guess what I wish I had done in high school? Read a book. Did you realize I graduated from high school? I didn't crack one book in high school. I had never read a complete book in high school. You say, how do you do that? They got class notes. Besides that, they got girls that are real smart. And in high school, I'd just go, what's that book about? And they'd give me two or three good things, and I could ad-lib it from there on out. But you know what? When I got to college, guess what I wish I had done? Read a book. Because guess what I could not do well, Freddie? Read. Guess what they do in college all the time? They read. That's all those people do up there. And I was like, can't y'all put this on TV? Merle, I bet you shocked too. You never read a book either, did you? You read one in high school? Huh? I'm not talking C-spot run in the first grade. I'm talking about like a book. You know, where they don't have a lot of spaces between the sentences. Wow. Now hold on, the same thing with the Word of God. How many of y'all wish you had got to some of God's teachings before you got to them? Yeah, me too. Now here's what I want you to know. We want to make sure these kids, we want to make sure these boys and girls in our congregation know what God said. And they need to know what God said before they get 15. Amen. Let's give them a foundation so at least they can have a fight. Amen? Now, some of y'all are going, well, this guarantees that my child come out good. No. I'm just, how's that for honest? I get this all the time. Blake, you're an attorney, aren't you? Don't they ask you as a counselor, well, if we do this, what's the judge going to say? Do you ever know? Lord, no. I mean, if you're going to raise kids, watch. I've seen kids that have come out of fine Christian homes raise hell like the devil himself. They've been to every church function, every program. You know why? Because they lost. But I have seen them eventually repent. Here's why. Because inside of them was a foundation to return to. Bugsy, I bet even in your drifting, there was somebody that put a foundation in you when you was a little bucket-headed kid, wasn't there? You had something to come back to, didn't you? Now think about this. In America today, how many of our children have nothing to come back to? Nothing. They come back to a soccer game because that's all they've done. Or they come back to a peewee football game. Or they come back to Little League. Or they come back to basketball. Or they come back to sports. But when your life is sunk, you got to have some truth. All Scripture is what? God breathed. And here's what it's profitable for. It teaches us. It rebukes us. Now, sometimes God's got to rebuke. How many of y'all need some things you need to get rid of? Yeah, that's rebuking. See, everybody gets all, watch, everybody gets panicked at God right here. What do you mean God's going to tell me you're wrong? I hope so. See, when we get into a time that nobody's wrong, I don't know about y'all, but I've been fascinated by this whole bailout something. Our whole nation has gone broke and it's nobody's fault. Are y'all amazed?
But the Democrats did it. The Republicans did it. They did it. They did it. That did it.
No, somebody messed up. It's the only nation I know where you can totally bankrupt a company and get $90 million on the way out the door. I bet if y'all fired me, I wouldn't get a box of peanuts. Shouldn't. See what I'm saying? We've lost touch with responsibility. The Word of God says, wait, you don't need to have your life in these things. That's rebuking. Correction. How many of y'all need to be corrected every once in a while? The Word of God says, hey, that's a good idea, but let me show you how to tweak it. Correcting. Look at here. And training in righteousness. How many of y'all realize we've been made righteous? Okay? The Bible doesn't make you righteous. Jesus makes you righteous. The blood of Jesus makes you righteous. Here's what the Bible tells you, though. The Bible gives you instructions on how to live your new life out. Isn't that cool? How many of you get glad that God gave us a new life and sent us an owner's manual with it? Now, watch this. You all may be like me. How many of you have never opened the owner's manual to your car? Me either. In fact, these new cars, they hide the battery on you. Have y'all noticed that? My battery went dead on my vehicle. I opened it up to find the battery because, Bob, I've been an old hot rodder, and you put the battery on the front of the car. This is one of them German cars. You know where they put the battery? Back in the gas. Back there by the gas. I could have blown up. Guess what? I sat there for 2 hours trying to figure out where the battery was. Guess when I found the battery? They got this thing in the glove compartment called an owner's manual. And you open it up and you go to the index, it says battery. Page 4. I opened it up and I went, battery's in the trunk. Guess what? I would have been on the road if I'd have just listened to the manual. Now watch, here's the Word of God. It teaches you. It trains you, it corrects you, it guides you, it moves you so that life might get better. Amen? And so I wanted to encourage you today, we got to be committed to the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, what? 16. Y'all getting it? These 3:16s are about foundational principles? How many of y'all willing to be committed to that? Church, you've been great today. The Spirit of God's been among us today. Now, let me tell you what the Word of God says. It says that anybody in this room can get saved today. Amen. What do you think about that? Now, I want to encourage you. How many of y'all have been talking to some other people? Just talk to me. How many of y'all have been talking to just some of your friends that they might need to get a relationship with Jesus? Okay? This is going to be really important. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Do y'all know what's going to happen in the future? So here's where I make my commitment. I'm going to be faithful no matter what happens. And I found there's a lot of security in that. How many of y'all found security in that? Yeah. If some of you are like me and you've opened up your annuity, if you had security in your retirement, that was false security. True? I got people panicking. I got people my age that are going, oh my gosh, I just can't blast it. What, are you going to retire next week? I said, do you know what's going to happen in the next 20 years? Do you know what's going to happen in 30 years? I said, no. But I said, you just want some excuse to be miserable. Let me blow you away. If you've read through the Bible, where is there a retirement in the revival? There's not. We made that up. Maybe it's not supposed to be. I found that when you get old and you're still doing something, you work better than if you're just sitting there watching Oprah all the time. Get on life. Go out with a bang. How many of y'all want to leave life living? Huh? I want to leave life living. And we got to stay committed to things of faith. We want to teach these young people the Word of God. We want to teach adults the Word of God. How many of you realize that in this church, Pastor Reynolds can tell you, there are over 93 Bible study opportunities. I don't know what more we can do to give you an opportunity to come to Bible study. There's a great Monday afternoon Bible study. It starts at noon, and it's done at 12:45, so you can get back to work. Boom, be back to work. They got a great teacher, don't they, Michael? It's a great Bible study. It's a lot better than Pastor Reynolds' Bible study on Thursday. But Pastor Reynolds got one on Thursday at noon. We're doing noonday Bible studies. We got stuff going on in the evening. We got stuff going on in Sunday. But get to a Bible study, okay, for an hour a week. Now, Woody, guess what some people are thinking right now? Well, I can read the Bible all by myself. Well, let me tell you what that's about like. How many of y'all diet well by yourself? Mm-hmm. I told Elizabeth, I said, I need to go on a diet. And then guess what I asked her 2 days after that? Can you put some Snickers back in that little jar over there? Because here's what I believe. If you eat those small Snickers, it's not as big a sin as if you eat a full-size Snicker. But here's what I found. When you eat four of them, it's a full-size Snicker, all right? Huh? Now look at this. Look at this. Everybody needs to be in our Bible study. Here's why you need to be in Bible study. You need to be where somebody disagrees with you. Because here's what you'll do. When you read the Bible, how many of y'all skip over the stuff that applies to you? See, if God needs to rebuke you, you go, well, God hadn't led me there today. And how many of y'all have pieced the Scripture together to just make it fit your own ideas? See, I'm very leery of teachers who fly all over the Bible because there's a big difference in ancient Israel and Greece. You know, there's several, like, you know, 100 years that have gone in between that. And we fly around and paste all these verses together to get the Bible to say what we want it to say. Here at Hillview, you will be with pastors and teachers who've studied the Word of God, who will teach you what it says in the context of what it says, so that you'll know what God has said. And you can grow accordingly. So this morning at the altar, I hope that we'll come and pray and ask God that we'd be faithful to the Word of God. We would be faithful to sharing Jesus with people. And we would be faithful in our giving. Amen? Pastor Mark, Pastor Jim, y'all want to just hear the bottom line truth? If everybody in our church that claims the name of Jesus would tithe, we would never have to have a building campaign ever. Some of you are visiting today and you go, oh no, the church talked about money. If that bothers you, it's because you're a lover of yourself. And in the last days, in these terrible times, people will love themselves more than they do God. They will love pleasure more than they do God. Here's a good way to see if you're faithful. See what you give unto the works of God and see what you spend on your own entertainment. And if you spend more on your own entertainment than you do in the working of God, don't be surprised when you start slipping away when things need to be tough. Does that make sense? Yeah. How many of y'all found that after you spend $10,000 on a vacation or $5,000 on a vacation or $1,000 on a vacation, it's over? And really, who cares? How many of y'all realize you've got the opportunity to invest money that will never be over? How many of y'all realize you're going to get old if you keep breathing? Isn't that great? I see Jim Blanton here today, and I see you in your uniform, Jim. Thank you for wearing your uniform. Thank you for serving our country, sir. Thank you. I hate to go to war, and I bet you hate to go to war. But you know what? Our nation has forgotten this. We're at war. Did y'all realize in your church that you serve at one time, we had 39 men and women in that desert over there? And every one of them have come back home safely. But guess what? Some haven't. We also have some widows in this congregation because of that war. We also have some people that are busted up because of that war. We got about 50,000 people that will never live their life like they were going to because of that war. They've been maimed and wounded. See, our technology now has allowed us to wound instead of kill. Might even be worse. We need to embrace people. We need to love people. We need to be faithful to people. We need to give people hope. And guess what? When you go to war, if you've ever been to war, you come back messed up. And the church has got to be a place that people can heal up when crazy things mess you up. Isn't that right, Sarge? You've been there, man. And so I want to offer a prayer. Veterans Day is on Tuesday, and I respect that. If you've served our country in the military or you are serving our country in the military, will you just stand for a minute, please? If you've been a veteran, all the vets, I want you to look at these men and women. Thank you, guys and gals. Now, y'all keep standing. Thank you. You know what? Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to show you something. Bob, you gave to something that kept on going. Did y'all realize if you hadn't stood up? If y'all hadn't stood up, we may have been in a place where we couldn't have preached this morning. Did y'all realize that? Did y'all realize that? Freddie Hampton, did you realize that? You didn't know. I mean, you was 19 years old when you went. You was from Butler County. Because you went to Nam, didn't you?
That's close.
Yeah. There's places in Nam that look like Butler County. That's why they sent you over there. Y'all stood in the gap. And we got young men and women standing in the gap right now. And I want to pray for them. And as I pray, I want y'all to represent people that are standing in that gap. I talked to one of my buddies Thursday. He got back. And he told me, he said, Rev, I've seen hell. And I said, yes, you have. I said, when humanity wants to destroy each other instead of dialogue and find peaceful solutions, hell emerges. And I want to pray for both sides. I pray for our Iraqis. Guess what? Their children and their parents hurt just like we do when we lose our kids. And they lose their grandparents. And they lose people. And I want to pray that we find some peaceful solutions. Amen? That's what the Bible says, dude. Guess what the Bible says? Come together and reason. But sometimes when people aren't reasonable, you have to stand militarily. And it's tough. So let's pray. Lord, you know the complexity of conflict. And you know the men and women that have served our nation. And they have given an investment. Lord, we are thankful that these men and women that stand in this service got to return home. Amen. And Lord, we thank you that they would be faithful to stand. And so now bless them as soldiers in a greater army. The army of the Lord, to stand faithful for the investment they made in the name of Jesus. You all may be seated. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's drawn you today to understand you can be saved, we want you to come to this altar, and any of these pastors right here, guess what? If you grab their hands and say, Pastor, I know I need Jesus in my life. Guess what? They're going to tell you to repent of your sins. Tell Jesus you're sorry for where you've been and what you've done. And guess what Jesus is going to do? Hannah, you asked Jesus to come in your life, didn't you, girl? What did he say? Yeah. What about it, Fainter? Did you ask Jesus to come in your life? Lord have mercy, you're from New York, California, and he still did it, didn't he? Huh? Even a Jewish background, right? No, just New York. One time wasn't even sure there was a God, right? Isn't that part of your story? You were an atheist. Then what happened?
God became real.
All Scripture is God-breathed. And God looked at Fainter and said, okay, you go ahead and be an atheist, big boy. And one day he said, uh-oh, I'm not smart enough to be an atheist. My God, my God. And you ask him, he said yes. Sarge, when you asked Jesus to come in your life, what did he say? Wow. Miss Pink, when you were a little girl over there in East Tennessee and you asked Jesus to come in your life, what did he say? He came in. Oh, Jack, there you were raising hell in Texas, running around in a 55 Chevy, lucky to have Sue in the front seat. When you asked Jesus to come in your life, what did he say? Has anybody in this room ever asked Jesus to come into their lives and say, Lord Jesus, I need your forgiveness and your grace. I need you to come in my heart. And Jesus went like this. Nah. Has that ever happened? You know what that shows me? If you feel that Spirit drawing you to His salvation and you say, Lord, forgive me. Guess what He's going to do? Forgive you. And then I'm going to tell you, get your head up. Because your heart's right. Get your feet going because you're headed where? To heaven. That's true. That's what the Word of God says. And let's not be a fearful people at Hillview. Amen. And so, George, I'm asking them to come to the altar just like you did. I'm proud of you, George. They said your lungs wasn't going to last. I remember that Wednesday night. We prayed on that Wednesday. You remember back there at that table? I said, God, make sure George gets some lungs for Christmas. It's coming in the holiday season. Next morning. Remember that? Remember that, Eleanor? Next morning. George, you didn't know this, but there was people up there at that Louisville hospital. They was freaked out when I walked up there. I said, I need to see Eleanor and George. And they said, why you need to see him? I said, I'm his pastor. Remember that big sister that was watching the door keeper up there trying to keep me out of seeing George? She looked at me. She's a good old African-American woman. She looked at me and she said, you his pastor? I said, ma'am, I'm his pastor. She didn't know what to say. I said, I'm white. I said, because where I come from. You see, where I have been made and how I've been remade. When you put the blood of Jesus over you, you can't see color anymore. Anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, Tuesday night I did get a little bit happy. Not politically, but possibility. It wasn't about politics. It was about possibilities. And I'll fight you till the game's over. And then when the game's over, we're going to follow. And we're going to come together. And you know what? I don't know if we can bring all the United States together, but I know we can bring the people of Hillview Heights together. Amen? And so I want you to come to the altar today. Listen, this ain't the time to lay back. I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, President-elect Obama, as soon as they showed him everything that was going on, he might have wanted to recount. I don't know who'd want a job right now. We got to pray for our nation. Why? So tired of the church, we fuss and fight and petition. How many times we pray? Because we don't believe that's God inspired. God said, you come before me and humble yourself and pray. And this is one prayer you got to have. God, I can't change the nation, but help me change my part. And that starts with a heart. And so I want you to come today. If you don't know Jesus, I pray to God you'd be saved today in the name of Jesus. If you hadn't been tithing, I know I'm crazy. Jim, I'm crazy. I'm asking people to tithe. And Don's going, hey, Harris, you don't understand. We're in economic tough times. You know how you solve economic tough times? Become faithful. First thing I teach people when they come and say, man, Montrell, you know what they tell me? They say, Pastor, I got some financial difficulty. Here's my first question. I said, are you a tither? What you talking about? I said, I have found a difficulty. Because if you are living on what is His, let me give you the principle. If you're living on what is His, you're not living. Once you give Him His, He'll show you yours. See the principle? It works, doesn't it, Don? It's crazy, isn't it? But it works. So come and say, God, make me a tither. Make me faithful. God, I haven't been to Bible study. God, put me in Bible study. Monday afternoon, 12 o'clock. That's a good one, isn't it, Pastor Jeff? But not as good as Thursday at noon, correct, Pastor Jeff? Both good. And Jamie's been once, and he's the co-teacher. You know what? Let's come to this altar and pray today. Amen. Pray for the new president, the new cabinet, the new stuff. But I got a hunch all the new stuff's going to look a lot like the old stuff. So let's pray for the church. That she become who she's supposed to be. Amen. Let's stand. This altar's open. People need to be saved. Come and be saved. Come and be made new and pray for the folk in the name of Jesus. Pray for the folk.